Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
You're missing so much, mime. We're all doing it.
That doesn't answer my question, but
anything I can blame the Tories for, I would.
I'm going to aim for the meaty part of the thigh.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are well into Men's Month by now, and today we are joined by an amazing man. It's the comedian, writer, and star of Saturday Night Live. It's Mikey Day!
Yay!
Yay!
Mikey, welcome!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be one of the few men who get to do this podcast.
Yay!
Each year. It's just it's 1 month.
Yes.
Just one month. We think,
just
give them a go.
Month.
that's why the podcast.
Yeah, that's why you guys are so successful. You only have men on 1 month to mess everything up. Then you have to clean everything up. But I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Yay!
Oh, wow. Well, we will kick things off the way we always do on this podcast, where we ask, Mikey, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
And then it just gets really serious. Oh. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Libertyville murders? Oh, we didn't screen appropriately. It was my family. Yeah, knock on wood, nothing too crazy. When I was in college, my car sounds so privileged. When I was in college, my car was broken into. But they took my stereo, and I was so poor that I couldn't get a new one, so I rolled around with like an old boombox on my passenger seat and would play CDs.
Nice.
But since it was a car, it would skip so easy.
Yeah.
So it would be like Bare Naked Ladies. My Bare Naked Ladies CD just skipping in the passenger seat. It's been 1 week. It's been so... That sticks out to me.
Oh,
My car's been broken into a few times when I was living in Los Angeles, but weirdly not in New York.
And I'm not
on wood.
I'm not gonna say what was the car wearing, but did you leave anything on display in the car?
Because that's always what they say, nothing, isn't it? Nothing too crazy. I had the second time was like in 2007. I had an old BlackBerry. It was a BlackBerry Pearl. Do you remember it had a little wheel in it that you would
I remember it was
that
like
you would scroll down with.
Blackberries and tampons. Tampax have pearl as well. They're the only two things that I've ever had.
They took
pearl
my Tampax pearl. I remember that was a big bummer because it was my phone. I don't think anything else. And then one time when I was a kid, we had for a couple years, we had a cabin in Big Bear, California. I lived in Southern California in Orange County, so it was like a 2.5 hour drive or whatever.
Ah.
And it was broken into and they took skis, but I don't know. It was like a kid and it was just seeing like the door jamb all messed up and kind of things were messy. It was like my first exposure to like, oh, bad things can happen to us. You know what I mean? Like, it was weird. It was a weird kind of reality check, sort of like, okay. Yeah. I mean, it was so minor in
but
the bad
in
things
Bear
scare.
We're in Big Bear.
It's our cabin. It sounds so lame complaining when there's a... In the grand scheme of things, it was very small, but...
I like the idea of these guys that have, like, they've stolen the skis as though they haven't thought about how to get home.
Like, I know. They're like, come on, let's go! With carrying giant skis out in a heist. Yeah, it was weird. I mean, we didn't have a lot of stuff in there. It was just weird.
Yeah.
I just have random flashes. And then this isn't really a victim of a crime, but this just came to my mind. I got pulled over once. Again, I was like 21 with my girlfriend at the time. I don't know why I was an idiot. I like got out, started getting out of the car like, I'm sorry. And the cop was just like, stay in the car, like gun drawn. I was like, oh, I didn't know you're supposed to stay seated. I mean, I was just an idiot, apparently, but that's kind of all my run-ins with the law.
Whereabouts was that one?
Everything was in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. What did he pull you over for?
I think I was speeding, but not a lot, or expired registration. I was, especially in my early 20s, I just was so bad at all that stuff. I didn't take care of it, and I'd get pulled over like, your registration's 2 years old. I'd be like, oh, yeah. And then, actually, okay, one time I had a seat. Sorry, I'm sorry I'm talking so long. One time I had a seatbelt ticket.
That is the first time a man has ever apologized for that.
Okay,
no,
great.
You're here to talk.
Great.
Most polite man ever.
Very sweet.
I feel bad. I didn't want to be like, dude, he just steamrolled that intro. Yeah, I hope he shuts up when we're talking about the crime.
No.
I had a seatbelt violation, and then they sent the like notice to appear, but I had moved, so it went to the other apartment. That coupled with me being an idiot, it like turned into a failure to appear in a warrant. So I got pulled over, and I was like, I wasn't speeding. This is weird. And he's like, step out of the car, please. I was like, okay, very just like, I guess this is normal. And then I sat on the curb and they went through my car. And there's a sketch comedy theater in LA called The Groundlings. And I was performing there at the time. So I had a bunch of weird costumes in my trunk, like a Spider-Man outfit and a bunch of wigs. Without that context, it's super weird. Like, what's this dude into? So I just remember the cop like holding up the Spider-Man costume, looking at his partner like, we got a weird one here with that kind of look. And then I got fully like, turn around, please. And I got handcuffed. And I was like, what's happening?
Wow.
So I literally was taken into the station. And I was like, it's a misunderstanding. It's just a failure to appear. It's a seatbelt. And then I was with, I guess, the general cell. And there was some dude in there. I was like, And he was like pacing. He's like, they say I stabbed someone, but I didn't. And then he's like, I'm here for a seatbelt violation.
I love, but I then, didn't, because that's great.
I know. I'm just like, oh, you clearly did. They said steps one, but I didn't. I'm like, why am I in here? I remember was they took like... my belt.
Oh, man.
And I was holding up my pants because my pants were too big. It was a nightmare, but I avenged my friend. I had to call a bail bondsman.
Oh, my goodness.
And I called my friend Kevin, and it was like, this is the West Hollywood Sheriff's Department. You have a collect call from, and I'm like, Kevin, it's Mikey. I can explain. Just please pick up, because you only have like 5 seconds to record it. But anyway.
I was thinking how hard it would be, like the classic scene in American films is having to be tough when you're thrown in the cell and having to be like, seatbelt violation.
It escalated. Oh, me? Lighting a cigarette. Seatbelt violation. Failure to appear. What about you? I murdered 8 people.
Covered in blood.
I know. It's tough in here.
Yeah. One time my family's skis got stolen.
Car got broken into twice. Had to replace the window.
I couldn't listen to music properly for weeks.
My Bare Naked Ladies CD skipped whenever I went over a speed bump.
The policeman thought I was Spider-Man, which is kind of cool. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I think they were messing with me, too. He was like, this is weird. He was like, I wonder if it's that guy who's dressing up like Spider-Man peeping in people's windows. I mean, I'm sure he was just doing that to mess with me, but it wasn't fun regardless.
Were you on your way to a show? Like, did you think
about... Yeah, I was literally on the way to the Groundlings.
Whoops. Oh, no!
Did you think about, like, but using your phone call to tell them that you wouldn't make the show?
Luckily... Hey, guys. Recast my parts. Luckily, it wasn't a show. It was, like, a workshop where you put up new sketches. I mean, that's all I literally would have been thinking. Like, oh my God, I'm going to miss the show. Such a theater major. Oh no, the show.
Quite right.
But how often is it that it's because you're in jail? Like, I mean, that feels that's pretty cool.
Now it's a cool story. But at the time, man, it was not fun.
You're just so
hyper-focused on getting out.
Also, as soon as you tell the story where he's like, get out of the car, I would be like, but the first time I did it, I got in real big trouble. Like, I'm just so afraid of it. Like, is this a test? Am I supposed to get out when you tell me to get out? What's the point?
Absolutely.
Such a fear.
I
want to
do the right thing.
Yeah. Is this a trick?
I don't know what
And they're very not forthcoming with information, because it was like a Friday. I was like... How long am I going to be in here when I was in the car going to the station? He's like, I don't know. It's a Friday. You might not get in front of a judge till Monday. I was like, what? And he's like, I don't know, man. It's just.
Wow.
Information was not.
Yeah.
They were not generous with it.
How much anyway. Like your bail set at did your friend have to pay?
Yeah, it wasn't that much. It was less than 500. I think it was like 400 or something. It wasn't bad, but it was just kind of annoying for my friend. And then I had to go to Aladdin Bail Bonds by the airport and pay it and reimburse.
Oh, man.
Where are you going? Aladdin Bail Bonds by LAX. I'm a great human being.
Oh, my God.
I'm making
Trust
good
Aladdin.
Choices. Yeah.
Wow.
Branding. Anyway. That's great.
Well, wear a seatbelt, everybody. That's the...
Wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. That's the takeaway. That's the
Make sure those seatbelts are in order. That's my takeaway is I'm strangely nostalgic for having to keep your CD from skipping because that was just such a thing. I used to run in New York with a Discman. Do you know how big those are?
Oh, absolutely.
They're enormous, and so I'd have to hold it completely flat. I looked like a waiter trying to get to the table. It was so silly.
What's that woman doing? Running with the disc, man. That's so funny.
Do you know what I would
prefer? Yeah, it was like a big deal.
Such a big deal.
I definitely prefer, I think, like, if I was jogging, rather than having anybody see, like, the way I run, I'd rather have some kind of prop. Like, look at the thing.
Focus
look at,
on
like,
that.
Yeah,
gotta
exactly.
Get it there.
Don't look at her horrible flat feet and the fact that she's fallen over the curb.
I was going to make fun of her running, but now I'm making fun of her weird waiter tray.
The this is the thing, what we always say on this podcast as well, is we always give you the chance to say to the person who has done the crime to you, you know, what would you say to them now? But I guess you're kind of, well, maybe let's go with the people that stole the skis from your cabin. Ooh. What would you say to those people now if you had them in front of you?
Actually, I'd say thank you for waking a young Orange County child up to the realities. I hope you used the skis. That's what I would say.
Nice.
And shame on you.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
On that note, we're going to go to the true crime section of the podcast. And today we are discussing the attempted kidnap of a princess.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, first
that's exciting.
Up, I mean, it's quite a good one in terms of kidnaps. So first up, when do you think this happened? Was it recent? Do princesses get kidnapped anymore? Or does it feel like something from the olden timey days? What's your initial instinct on this?
I think this is the opening to Patriot Games. Is this real?
Isn't this the start of Shrek?
Also a great Tom
Somebody
Clancy.
Somebody once told me. Some Smash Mouth. I'm inclined to say, like, it's in the 70s. I don't know. The 70s felt... I don't know when Patty Hearst was. Not that Patty Hearst was royalty, but...
No.
60s or 70s, maybe?
Like interesting. A big time for kidnapping. You are completely right. It's the 70s. 5 points to Marcus.
Yes.
Oh. We're doing points
tonight, ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's been great having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Watch SNL Saturdays, 11:30. I'm not sure what time in the UK. Thank you. Okay, 70s.
So wow. It was 1974, and we are talking about the attempted kidnap of Princess Anne of the British royal family.
Oh, what? Princess Anne.
Yeah. So,
how dare they? I'm just going to open with that. How dare they?
So that's Charles's sister.
Charles's sister, as she's known. Yes, this is...
she hates that.
Please welcome Charles's sister. I have a name. Interesting.
She is up to a few weeks ago. She was just known as the daughter of the Queen because that is who she is. She's the Queen's only daughter. And I came across this case because I was watching the Queen's funeral, RIP. I realised I didn't know a lot about Princess Anne, let alone the kidnap attempt that happened in the 70s. So a little background on Charles's sister. She was the first member of the royal family to have competed in the Olympic Games.
Really? What event?
Polo? So,
yeah, it will be horses. It will definitely be something.
It's going to be equestrian.
Oh,
yeah, there's no way it was.
She does discus.
I would fucking love, if it's shot put.
You know how they all get into university, though? Is that they haven't necessarily got the grades. Did she definitely qualify on equality to get to the Olympics?
Interesting, yeah.
Not to throw shade. It's very impressive.
it's a good question, and she did get BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
That doesn't answer my question, but
no, it's
they're completely unbiased BBC.
This is the thing I think with things like equestrian stuff, because it was equestrian. It was the equestrian 3-day event. Does anyone know what that entails?
Jumping over.
Yes. Definitely, I'm going to snowball on that.
I literally went.
Yeah, jumping.
I went to a horse show recently, and which is I'd never been, and we were at a friend's house. They're like, "We're going to the horse show. You want to come?" We're like, "All right," because my son's friend loves horses, and so I don't know what they call it, but jumping, I guess, was an event possibly.
Yeah, is it literally called the horse show?
That's what I call it. I think it was. It was called, like, the Classic or something. The McCadden Classic. It was something classier.
Yes. Yeah, so we had it's the show jumping, it's...
Is it called dressage? Is that what all that is called?
Oh, yes.
I don't really know what that means. Is that the umbrella term for all the jumpy, spinny...
Well, isn't dressage course? Where they do a weird little dance or something?
Yeah, I thought it was, like, when they're, like...
Yeah, it's like cross.
Do that
for
weird
horses.
Gallop or
for
not
the
gallop,
listeners, you're missing
trot?
so much mime.
Yeah, sorry, I realized it was a podcast.
No, we're all doing it.
That was good.
I would call it a classy trot. Is dressage? Yes.
Yeah, kind of a little bit possibly. Sexy as well. They know what they're doing, those horses. Like, they're kind of... they're strutting their stuff. And in answer to your question, Katie, she did, like, she rode on the Queen's horse, was the horse she took the Olympics. So you're kind of like, that's going to be...
That is not a euphemism.
Yeah.
What would that be a euphemism for?
Whatever you want it to be, baby.
He rode the Queen's horse. Sounds like someone who got too drunk. Wow, she really rode the Queen's horse last night. Got, like, sloppy drunk.
Well, we will be adopting that.
Yeah, that's our new thing now. Riding the Queen's horse.
Riding the Queen's horse.
Okay, so she was in the, what? Do you know what year she was in the Olympics?
I think it was like 1971 or something. And again, wow. Katie, in answer to your question, she didn't win. And I'm not saying that means that she shouldn't.
No, that doesn't. Because the thing is, if she's there on merit, I feel terrible. And even if she's there because she's quite good, great stuff. But, like, I don't know. If it's not fair, it just seems unfair.
I do know what you mean. I'm just pleased, like, yeah, no royal has ever tried to be a comedian or something, because that would, I think that would annoy me more. Oh,
you know that's coming.
Everyone would be like... feeling very pressured to laugh. Yeah.
What is the deal with an estate? Having an estate, I don't know.
I know. What is the deal when your staff doesn't... We don't have a staff!
So, one thing. So, she didn't win the Olympics, but she did win the heart of a fellow horseman, Captain Mark Phillips. So, this is... her first husband, who she married.
I mean, you said horseman, so I've got BoJack in my head now. What a cute couple.
BoJack Horseman.
I did
married Princess Anne. But it's also important to point out that before they divorced, because they are divorced now, Captain Mark Phillips, he had a love child with an art teacher in New Zealand.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What, during this time?
Yeah, yeah, like sort of like in the 70s.
So he cheated on Charles's sister.
Yes, he did. He did. Now, so he's a bit of a dog. And apparently he and this art teacher had a one-night stand at a hotel in New Zealand. And Mark left something outside the door of his room so she could find which room was his. What did he leave?
Okay, it's the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
If I was having an affair in the 70s, I guess I would leave my flares.
I was going to say his, the riding crop, that's what it's called. But that feels too on the nose for a horseman. I'll leave my riding crop outside. I don't know. I'm going to do something kind of little weird and say like, oh, I was going to say like a playing card from a deck of cards, but that's weird.
Yeah,
I might say like a keychain or something.
Ooh, okay. But... okay. I like that. I would like, there's so many kind of like, I don't know which card I'd leave. I'd leave something like the Seven of Clubs, and there's so many sexier cards to
or
leave.
Or a queen. But... that's really weird.
That would be weird for like a royal.
The queen. I know. Jack, maybe.
Yeah.
Here's what I hope he left was a signed 8x10 photo of himself.
Next to his horse. Just posed.
You can't make a mistake that way. Because there's other stuff outside of hotel rooms. You don't want to throw her off.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm gonna leave a tray with an empty bottle of Heineken.
I'm leaving a copy of the newspaper.
I would say, Mikey, you were probably the closest in that it was his riding boots. So.
Oh, it was horsey. Oh boy.
Wow, he left his boots.
But again, somebody else, because do people do that so that people shoe shine them and stuff? Is that like a thing that you might actually do? Because that could have resulted in hijinks.
Maybe someone killed two birds, Katie. You know, maybe he made them clean and he wanted to get some with an art teacher. So,
wow, this is a great day for him.
Yeah. He's an efficient lover.
Yes.
That feels like it would be in like a farce, like a British farce. Like they take the boots, the wrong person goes in the door.
Yes.
Sorry, theater dork.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And obviously, as British people, we all have sex in the dark, so they never would have found out.
Exactly. And you all sneak around, right? And you all live in houses with 80 doors.
Yes.
A small two-story house with like 80 doors.
That's exactly what we do.
Got it. That's what I figured.
So, guys, I promised you a kidnapping. So, here we are on the evening of the 20th of March, 1974. Princess Anne.
That's
is
my
20-
birthday, by the way, March 20th. So, this is fate.
Oh,
this is fate. Sorry.
Really?
Don't mean to interrupt. Yes.
That's weird.
Interesting. Whoa.
I love that, though. I do love when your birthday comes up just in conversation. You do, no matter what it is, even if you're being like accused of a crime, you go, it's my birthday.
Yes. Oh, it's my birthday. Oh, they were murdered. It was 6 years later, but March 20th. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So Princess Anne, she's 23, and her lover and husband, they're in the limo, and they're heading towards Buckingham Palace after attending a charity film screening. So my first question about this is, who else was in the car? Who else would you think? There were two other people in the car with them. Who else do you think would be around a princess at this time of night in her limo?
Are you including the driver there, or is it two plus a driver?
It's two plus a driver.
Some kind of security?
Okay.
That's a sensible answer, but it can't all be gold.
I know, I'm trying to think of, I would say, like, her head security person.
Yeah, so that's one.
Maybe her best friend that's going through a really hard time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Charles, so that people could identify her? Like, who is this woman? Oh, it's Charles' sister.
Oh, she's with Charles. I mean, probably not Mark Phillips, right?
Well,
is that his name?
Yes, yeah. He was in the car, so it was him and her, and it was the security guard, who is Police Inspector James Wallace Beaton, and one of her ladies in waiting.
Oh. I was close with best friend going through a hard time.
I guarantee that lady in waiting was going through a hard time. She's been waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Also, for a time,
that head of security, you had one job: make sure she doesn't get kidnapped. I guess this is an attempted kidnapping, you said, right?
I was gonna say, Bill.
He gets sacked.
Bill, my office, please. Sorry.
I actually didn't. Can you say his name again? Beaton. Something Beaton.
Beaton. Yeah, it was James Wallace Beaton.
James Wallace Beaton. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
JWB. Your
instincts are kind of right that it didn't go particularly well for him. So they're heading down the Mall, which is the long road towards Buckingham Palace, when a white Ford Escort overtook them and forced them to stop. So a bearded man with light red hair, sort of my type, if I'm honest, gets out of the car. And,
it's pretty hot.
Yeah, just so we get some context to this.
You had me at Ford Escort, says Hannah.
You're like, ooh, a gentleman.
Beaton gets out of the car to check what's going on because, you know, that's his job. Yeah. But this guy gets out of his car and starts running towards the limo. He's carrying something. What is he carrying?
It's a disc man.
Flowers, a disc man.
A disc man.
But like really flat, yeah.
Just I can't really believe still. This. This is mad.
It's crazy. It's
I'm
crazy.
I'm going to say a large knife.
Yeah.
But if he beats the guy's name who is beaten, was beaten, I mean, that is.
The headlines are writing themselves.
I mean, yes.
It's a great day for British journalism.
I know. They're like, oh my God. I'm going to say a large stabbing, like one of those large knives.
Like the kind of machete kind of.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, nice.
I think it has to be a weapon if this is, he's kidnapping. He's got to have more than a Ford Escort to make himself look powerful. I'm tempted to say it was a gun, but that would be so rare here, wouldn't it? Like, it would be so difficult. Maybe he's a hunting rifle.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say hunting
Ooh,
rifle.
That's pretty good. I'm just Googling white Ford Escort. I just want to... Oh my God. If you have access to a computer listening to this or your phone, you should Google white Ford Escort 70s. I just wanted a mental picture. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It really sets the scene. And this guy, you know, what is worse, Taylor, than a gun is two handguns. So he had a gun in each hand.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like what? An Old West gunslinger.
Yeah, this is so cartoonish now. In Britain, there's so few guns that my references to guns are cartoons.
I know. That's literally what I thought. I mean, you think of two guns?
Yeah.
Those are the only... I bet those are the only guns in the country. It's like, you know, when we gig, we're doing pretty well. So yeah, we stay at travel lodges. And there's only one hair dryer in the entire hotel. So you have to go and be like, I need the hair dryer. And they're like, it's with somebody else. So you'll have to go back. These
really?
Are like the checkout guns, the two guns of England.
Yeah.
The guns.
He
had the guns.
Who has the guns? You were supposed to be watching the guns.
He had them, and he was not afraid to use them. He immediately shoots Beaton in the right shoulder. Yeah, like just immediately.
Wow.
Beaton goes down. Beaton has a gun. He has the third gun in the country.
Yeah.
All of them were used. Yeah. Wow.
But because I guess they're not used that much, he takes one shot, misses, and then the gun jams. So the only thing they had to protect themselves has just broken.
Oh, they took old guns from the British Museum, didn't they? When the gun jams. It's like...
From the Revolutionary War. They're like packing it.
Never failed us. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's also
gunpowder.
Also, like, when he was asked about this afterwards, he sort of says that... they were like, well, we weren't really given any training because we never really thought anything like this would happen.
Oh, my God.
I never fired a gun.
Wow. Yeah, you just would not want your security guard to be like, oh, no, I'm just here to look frightening, I guess. Like,
That's nuts. They called his bluff.
So Ball, the assailant, he approaches the limo, tries to open the door, but Anne and Mark are inside holding the door shut. He shouts that he's going to kidnap the princess and hold her for a ransom of £3 million. What did he claim he wanted the money for?
New guns.
New guns.
Better guns. Wow. I'm having the movie in my head. He's like from a small town that's like not doing well economically, and there's a bunch of businesses that are going out, are like having to close their doors, and he's like resentful of the monarchy. There's like these royals have everything. I'm gonna and like help his friends basically in a small town. That's my long-winded answer.
No, I like it.
It's really heartwarming.
Or drugs. Like... That's my second answer.
I want £3 million worth of drugs.
I really like the drugs.
Started as a cocaine baron.
But that's a good guess. Yeah.
I could give you a little hint off the back of that, is that it was, you're on the right lines, it was a kind of selfless thing. He wanted to give it away.
Is he a political activist? Is he going to funnel it into some kind of cause that he wants to get attention for or something?
Okay.
That's good.
And the advance on a small town and a cause.
Let's see, the 70s.
Yeah, what was everyone talking about in the 70s?
Flares?
Yeah, it's like Flair, Vietnam. Yeah.
What's his name again?
When was I was about to say, when was Vietnam? I'm not that stupid.
But in my limited knowledge of history, in the UK, in the 70s, there were loads of power cuts.
Ah, it's like 2022, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's to do with that.
Right, I'm genuinely just going to rip off Patriot Games again, because that's where I started. Is it like IRA related? Is it Irish?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yes.
Interesting. Well, what it was is he wanted to give it to the NHS.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we need him now.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. But the thing is, though, that seems noble, but then he goes on to shoot a bunch more people. So,
oh,
yeah. Which
now
is not-
NHS. I remember growing up, NHS was the National Honors Society. Well, yours is the Health Service, right?
Yeah, the National Health Service.
Oh my God, I forgot. Sorry, that.
Growing up in high school, it was like, ooh, welcome to the National. You got all A's. You're in the National Honor Society. I was like, oh, okay, an academic cause. I'm like, oh no, wait, that's your. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, no. So he wants, but oh man, I'm torn now. He wants to help the health service, but he's also sending people to it.
Like, yes,
that's a good goal.
He is.
I mean, he wants to showcase how bad it is.
Underfunded in the 70s. Was there a crisis? I mean, it's on its knees now.
Yes, yeah, like, I imagine. Well, were the Tories in? Was this Thatcher time?
Thatcher got in 79, oh, and it was Labour before then, but there was loads of, like, union strikes and stuff. If it's the early 70s, it might well be the Tories, actually.
Okay, anything I can blame the Tories for, I would.
Drunk women solving crime.
Dear Cousin Louie, hope all is well in Fort Lauderdale. It's me, Antony. I am recording this on Monday, November 21st, 2022, in our hometown of Canarsie, Brooklyn. This is my last will and testament. As you may be aware, you were the last remaining beneficiary to my estate. However, it has recently emerged that 17 years ago, you talked bad about me to my dear friend Roberta. She tells me that you describe me as a petty man who likes to hold a grudge. Well, now you're dead to me. How's that for a grudge? In place of my now non-existent family, I leave my fortune to the following supporters of the excellent podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime. Helen Jones, Leah Michaels, Rosie Tanner, Kay, Rebecca Hodgkin, Becky Lewis, Georgia Kumara, you guys, you're my family now. Louie, may God forgive your putrid soul.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So basically, what happens next is the chauffeur gets out of the car. He's shot. Bull shoots him.
Oh.
Then Bull starts struggling with the door to get Anne again. And he says, get out of the car, you're coming with me. What did Anne famously shout back at him?
Ooh.
I mean, you don't know the case, but, like, what might it have been?
Did they do this in The Crown? Because I missed it if they did.
Do you know what? They didn't.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it. I remember her hanging out with LBJ in The Crown. But I don't remember the kidnapping attempt.
They should have put this in. Why didn't they put this in The Crown?
Yeah, how am I supposed to learn history if it's not in The Crown?
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
I know, this would have been a fun one.
Yeah, right?
I'd be like, maybe let's lose one of those long conversations with the Queen.
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
They are interesting.
But like, yeah, this would be good. This would be good
to Charles pouting.
What's his sister up to? Come on.
I know. Let's see. I don't know if she'd say like a bad word, right? Would she keep, are they like so trained to mind their tongues?
Yes. I'd love to, oh God, if we just have like one clip of the Queen saying fuck, that would have just been amazing.
I know.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Or like what? When they're setting up for her Christmas address and her chair's like, she's like, oh, fuck.
You don't see any Queen outtakes, which is, there's got to be some.
No. 100%. Maybe we'll get to see them now.
Oh, I bet they like burn those.
Yeah. Well, like they had, I don't know. So this David Jason apparently won't let any of his outtakes be shown until he's died.
Oh, wow. What does he do in them?
I don't know, but he did this whole thing where he said, like, we go to all this trouble to craft a TV show. Why should everyone, like, get to see the bits where we messed up? But I disagree. I want to see the outtakes.
Yeah. It's the most fun.
Yeah. They kept in that bit when he fell through the bar, so...
Does she yell...
What did she say?
Over my dead body.
Ooh, nice.
Something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Which is
dramatic.
A ballsy thing to say to a man with a gun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something like, I'll be damned. Bugger off.
Yeah. Maybe she said, not today, Satan.
Nice.
Oh, the originator of that. That'd be great. The first to utter
if she
it.
Can claim that.
Not today, Satan. I'll say something like, to hell. This is so lame. To hell with that. That sounds like the name of the British farce. To hell with that.
Yeah.
To be honest, you were not, like, you were all pretty much on the right lines. Ooh. She famously said, not bloody likely.
Ooh.
Oh.
So we've got a little swear in there.
Yeah, all the stereotypes of British swearing were right.
I know, absolutely. I was saying that sounds like an American version of a British spy movie.
It does!
Bloody That's like likely.
When Americans do us, but like, this is why, because she said it.
It's also still pretty non-committal. Like, it is so, so English to be like, not likely, but I will allow for
there's a chance.
That smidgen of a chance, because I will not be made a fool.
I'm no fool. It's so funny, on anytime we have a British actress on SNL, we've done like these Civil War letter sketches a few times, and I play her British, usually the British husband, and my accent is always crazy, and I'm always like, ask the host, and like, does my accent have a region? Usually like, no, really?
You go from, not in England.
Yeah, you go from really like lower class to some words are, I mean, they're much nicer than that, but it's always fun because I always think I'm crushing it. And I'm like, I sound like legit, right? They're like, kind of some words.
I think that is my favorite bit in all like American sitcoms, is when anyone tries to do an English accent. It just really makes me like Leslie Knope pretending to do an American British accent.
Hello.
Yeah. I'm going to get in the lift or something.
Yeah, the new Bangers and Marsh. But Brits are way better at doing American accents.
Oh my god,
Americans are, right?
We still don't understand the regions. We can do LA girls, or we can do New York stereotypes, and then that's about it.
Middle of the country.
Minnesota. I'm out. I don't know.
Minnesota. Like, is that Minnesota? Is that a thing?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Ball is getting more and more irate because Anne is not playing his game. And what I like about this story is that at this point, members of the public start sort of coming towards this car and going, what is going on? So the first person...
Did they form a queue?
An orderly queue.
Yeah. Pardon? For 24 hours.
This is at night, you said. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. You said this is at night, right? Like...
What time did
you say it was?
It's probably about sort of like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Okay.
They've been to a screening of a film, and they probably don't hang around for drinks afterwards because
got it.
Because they're fighting about his affair.
Yeah, exactly, because things are not good at home.
You're right.
So it's late, but it's not like crazy late.
Yeah, it's not
like
pub chucking out
2
time.
A.m.
Yeah.
No, okay. No. This is just
so
sort
there's
of
like cars around. Wow.
Yeah, and so the people that are around are not hammered either. They're just a bit drunk.
They could be, what was it, supping from the Queen's horse? What did we decide it was called? I can't remember.
Oh, riding the Queen's...
Yeah.
Riding the Queen's horse.
Riding the Queen's
horse. I don't think they were riding
they
the Queen's
horse. They weren't riding the Queen's horse yet.
I'm so happy about that. It's just a really great little turn of phrase.
Yes, I don't know how you'd sup from a horse, and I don't want to know. So... the first is a man called, first one on the scene is a guy called Brian McConnell. Now, Brian is usually the kind of person the royals may have had a bit of a problem with. Who was he? What kind of person? A poor person, perhaps. But what?
Not white.
Yeah. So his job is something that maybe the royals have no, you know, across time.
Ooh.
Not been happy.
Journalist.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
okay,
that's a
journalist.
Good answer. Yeah.
Recruiting Red for the star. Communist just... Party. Scott, sorry.
Communist recruiter. Excuse me. Recruiting for the Communist Party? What? What's that? The princess is getting kidnapped. With flyers. That's so funny.
Do you know what? I'm gonna tell you because you've got it right. He was a journalist.
He was a journalist.
Yes,
yeah,
he was
nice.
A tabloid
what
journalist.
What are the odds here?
Yeah. I know, because part of me thinks, like, was he following her anyway? Because
was he, yeah, trying to upskirt her, but now he's a hero.
Legalize it again.
Upskirting Anne, that is the film that we all want to see.
Like, upskirter turned hero.
I was just upskirting her and I saw she was being attacked, so I rushed in, saved the day.
He's a Daily Mail journalist as well, to make it worse.
Oh, no.
And this is hilarious as well, because he approaches Ball and he says, again, this sounds like you're American pretending to be an English person. He says, don't be silly, old boy. Put the gun down.
Oh, my God. Like, did people actually talk like this in the 70s and we've all forgotten?
I also think that if you're in a sort of situation like that, you might have just gone, oh, fucking hell. And then when somebody says, what did you say? You go, I said, put it down, bitch.
Yeah, for sure.
You rewrite it, yeah.
Yeah. Does Bull put the gun down?
Go ahead, because I don't know.
I feel like his plan isn't completely fucked up yet. I think he still thinks he can take it. So I don't think he puts it down. I don't think he puts it down yet.
Okay.
He's still got two guns, and this is a journalist with very antiquated language. I don't think he's scared of him.
Oh boy. I say he fires a shot too.
Yeah, maybe
I say
he shoots
fires
the journalist.
A shot.
I want someone to just come up and start speaking in Middle English now. Just like
yeah, Chaucer turns
I'm up. I'm gonna next. Canterbury Tales your ass. I say he puts down one gun. Just the one.
Oh, what, to buy some time?
Because passive aggression.
He's got the upper hand.
He has upper hands because they're filled with guns.
Yeah.
Two guns.
Yeah, he shoots him, essentially.
He shoots the Daily Mail journalist.
Shoots the Daily Mail guy immediately.
Wow. Has anyone died?
No, and that is the...
I'm sorry, that might have been a question.
No, it's not. I can tell you now if anyone's feeling uncomfortable, nobody died.
Everyone is a terrible shot in this film. That's real.
We're not used to guns.
Yeah. Now we just think everyone survives. That's how we. Yeah. How we look
I'm going to aim for the meaty part of the thigh. Ha ha! Wow.
There's some real blood vessels in there. Oh my God. This is crazy. Because it sounds like it's like all point blank as well.
Yeah, it's full on. And then it's like actually quite lovely is the wrong word.
Well, it's kind of, I quite like the way people keep coming up to help and they don't necessarily know that this is
slowly shot one by
right. Yeah, it's very slow paced. I'm sure just the way we're receiving the information, but in my mind everyone's very polite and it's very slow and like, I say, old boy, put that down, please.
I mean, it feels like that's actually exactly how it was. So the next person to turn up is a police officer. He's only 22 years old. He's only just started. Michael Hills. He thought he'd stumbled upon a car accident because I guess there wasn't training for a princess kidnap.
Would never come up.
Exactly. He taps Ball on the shoulder. Ball turns around, just shoots him immediately. That's it. He's a police officer.
My goodness. Wow.
However, before he collapses, he manages to radio the station. So now backup is on the way. But at this point, Ball gets the door open, grabs the princess's arm. Mark Phillips grabs her other arm. What happens next?
They pull her arms off. Holy shit.
She went, oh, don't fight over little old May with a fan fanning herself. Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Mark, that's Anne's
husband.
Husband. I was going to say man. Suitor. Okay, her husband like wrenches her free and shuts the door.
Okay.
That's not that.
Yeah, that's cinematic.
Although can't go wrong with he shoots the husband because this dude shoots everyone.
Yeah, he's got a form.
He's got an MO, yeah.
He definitely doesn't want to kill people.
No. I don't think...
Yeah, he's not aiming to kill.
That's true. Yeah. He's just trying to save the NHS.
Yeah.
Probably too close to the princess, too, to fire any shots.
Yeah.
If they're both struggling.
Her arms are grabbed, but maybe she kicks him or something. I think she does something to fight back because she's already said not bloody lightly. So she's
nice
like,
move in a dress that would
she,
be.
She's not up for this.
Yes,
like a high heel right in his side.
Yeah, because she's already super angry that her husband's cheating. She has
hasn't happened yet. I was just giving you some color.
Oh, I thought that was like fueling her anger.
No, I think just the kidnap was fueling her anger.
Does she kind of clap them together, you know, like put their heads together like coconuts? Yeah, and then they both fall.
Dong!
That would be good.
I'm Anne, motherfuckers.
Well, what happens is somebody mentioned a dress, and it was to do with the dress, is that the seam on her floor-length gown just, like, ripped. And she said, I lost my rag at that moment, were her exact words.
Wow.
I lost my rag! Oh, wow.
I know, again, it's been scripted by an American who has never been to the UK.
Oh, my goodness.
This must be how everyone talked in the 70s. This is crazy.
Also, remember that this is the royalty, and I imagine they still speak like that, don't they? But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So a third and final passerby. Are we ready for our final passerby?
Yes.
He's my favourite, actually, because... It's all really kicking off at this point. Lots of people on the floor. He's called Ron Russell, and he was a sportsman. What kind of sportsman do you think he was?
Oh, yes.
Cricket.
Okay. How's that?
My knowledge of British sport. Cricket or rugby? I'm getting two answers. I'm sorry.
Nice. Yeah. No, nice.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, getting all that blood out of those whites, though, would be awful. Should I give you a clue that you'd want this guy at your kidnap?
Oh my gosh, is it martial arts?
Oh, judo? And they met at the Olympics. He was doing judo at the Olympics.
Boxing.
Ding, 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 ding. He is a former heavyweight boxer. Yes.
How did they not put this in the Crown? This is a travesty.
I know.
Yeah.
It sounds like a comedy movie.
It's very farcical in a way.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like from a Naked Gun movie. A boxer comes up with his gloves.
Oh my God, yes. And you'd be like, oh, that's too far-fetched. You need to rewrite it. But that's what happened. Yeah.
Do you know what? It gets a little bit more Naked Gun in a moment. But so basically, again, we've got some we've got some dialogue here, which is, verbatim. This is apparently what they said. Ron saw Ball shooting the police officer. So he witnessed that. And he said, I thought, that's a liberty. He needs sorting.
Oh, my God.
Of course he did. Wow.
Honestly.
I know.
He needs sorting.
Yeah, so he did. He sorts him. He walks up and he punches Ball in the back of the head. Ball turns to and fires at him because that's what he does. He misses. But at this point,
that's also what he does.
So Anne's like, do you know what? I've got to do something at this point because so many people are getting shot. What does the princess do?
I want her to break into song at this point. I want her to sing a song that brings everyone together and reminds the nation
the national
that we are
anthem,
one.
Perhaps.
They Maybe. Tell women that are in trouble or being attacked in any way to shout fire because no one will come if you shout, like, assault or whatever.
So does she, right.
Does she start shouting fire?
Okay.
Fire, fire. I would say she goes for his gun.
Okay.
Which would be pretty brazen. Scary, but I don't know. Prince Anne seems like badass in this story. So I'd say she tries to grab the gun. She's
yeah,
like, you're not going to do anything, Mark. I'm going to do it. God damn it. That's what I'll say.
I like that.
I mean, can feel you're going to cheat on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know this whole time as well. Like, I'm kind of like, what the fuck is Mark up to be honest with you? Like,
yeah.
Where is he in all this?
He's hiding behind the princess, using the princess as a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't be surprised if she does something pretty ballsy here. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
What it is when I read this, again, it's one of those things that just like, it sounds as though it definitely didn't happen. But I think because everything was like, you know, this isn't that long ago and everything was written down at the time, is that she decides that she needs to distract Ball because he's trying to shoot Ron Russell. So she somersaults out of the other side of the car.
No.
And, what? Yeah.
In a gown?
Yeah, in a ripped gown.
Yeah, arse out, probably. I don't know.
Why? Wow. Oh, man, the Daily Mail journalist is kicking himself that he's too shot to photograph this.
I know. Oh, my God, my camera. The bullet hit his camera. He's like, no. She somersaults out the other. Okay, so the other side from where Ball is, she somersaults out. Yeah. Got it. Wow.
Nice.
That's not what I would expect.
I know, it's absolutely bonkers. And
but so she knows she's the target, so she is taking his attention elsewhere. I like how she thinks.
Yeah, and
it's like an old equestrian trick as well. When you're not sure what to do when the horse is just somersault.
But yeah, it gets his attention. He stops shooting at Russell, runs around the car to try and get her, but she jumps back in the car. Uh-huh. I'd forward flip, I guess. I don't know. And she pulls the door to. Then the police have started turning up at this point. It's too late. Hi. Ball is just like, the jig is up, basically. So he takes off across St. James's Park. A policeman runs after him. How do you think he apprehends him? Just to continue the slightly cartoonish theme of this case.
A lasso?
He trips into a lake and then he puts his head up and there's a bouncing goldfish on his head and then he spits the water out like a cartoon. And the fish looks at him like, uh-oh, you're screwed.
This was in the
Knowing
Crown.
Knowing this story. Yeah.
Oh, now I remember, yeah.
Only one of us is getting out of here.
He trips. And okay. Like...
I want the fish thing to be true so badly.
I know.
Very cartoon. Whenever a cartoon falls in a lake, I'm thinking of Gaston in Beauty and the Beast is what I'm thinking when he like falls in the mud. Anyway, that was a weirdly specific reference.
No, I like it. I like it.
Does he sit on him? Because this happened in a case recently that we did with a jewel thief, and because it was just one officer and he needed to wait for backup, he just sat on the guy.
Okay.
Does he just sit on him? And then they admire St. James's beautiful park. It's a lovely space.
Do you know what? He takes his coat off and tosses it over Ball's head like he's putting a budgie to sleep. Like he does that, and then he grabs him and tackles him to the ground. And
what?
Then he's arrested. Like I say, nobody dies, which is amazing. Everyone makes a full recovery. Beaten as he gets the George Cross.
Was the guy still holding guns when he had the coat put over his head?
Good question. Maybe. I guess so. I guess he kept his guns on him.
We could do the math. Like, how many bullets have been fired? He might be I don't know how many bullets are in a handgun.
So we have like six per gun, and he's shot like... He shot how many people? Three or four at this point?
Four, I think.
Four.
So he's still got some bullets.
Oh, he only needed one gun. I hate that when you realize at the end of the night that you only needed like one bottle of wine or something.
I've overdone it. No, I'm the first one to admit it.
Did you ride the queen's horse?
He threw his coat over him. That's very adorable. Naked gun. He's flailing around. Like it's a net.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I can't
very,
believe a boxer
odd.
Showed up.
I know, it's
all
crazy.
These elements, just bonkers.
So they all get medals?
They all get medals. Beaton's given the George Cross. Hills and Russell are given the George Medal, which I think is the greatest thing that a civilian can be given. Like, he was given...
Is the cross lower or higher?
Higher, I think, because he was, like, a police officer, so that's the highest you can get as a police officer. Russell, the boxer, said that when the Queen awarded him his medal, she said, "The award comes from the Queen, the thank you comes from Anne's mother," which I thought was quite sweet.
We put a lot of weight on these medals and titles they give. They could be given real estate or like paying off mortgages. I'm just going to put that out there.
That is such an interesting point that you made, because apparently Russell was told by a police officer that the Queen might pay off his mortgage for this.
Really?
So, yeah, 100%, which is crazy that you actually suggested that.
Great minds. Wait, was that a bad guy? I've had some champagne now.
But basically, bloody Russell, he stops paying his mortgage in anticipation the Queen is going to pay it off, and he also almost has his house repossessed.
Oh my god!
Oh. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that is very weird.
Oh, this is almost as good as Mikey's birthday coincidence.
It's all coming together.
Full circle. Okay. Wow.
Oh yeah. Man.
She never pays it off.
Oh no. Come on.
I know.
She's on the money. She can't pay it off.
I know.
Yeah.
It'd be so easy.
I mean, also like she never agreed to. It was just some stupid police.
Yeah, true. But then she should have said like the medal's from the Queen, the thank you is from Anne's mum, and the not paying off your mortgage is from an outdated system that doesn't really work.
Perfect. So yeah, Ball pleaded guilty to attempted murder and kidnapping. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia and is still detained under the Mental Health Act at Broadmoor Hospital.
Oh my goodness.
So he's still there. Yeah, he was sentenced to 41 years in prison, and this happened 51 years ago or something.
Whoa.
So he's still there, but I don't think that it's kind of I don't think he's gonna get out, I think is the kind of thing. And I think
right
that, yeah.
Wow, you're like, and we have a special guest, please, joining us live from
us
Wales
now.
Prison.
Oh, man.
Mikey, turn around.
Oh my god, he's in my home.
Oh, I can't believe that. Oh, that's nuts. He's still in Broadmoor.
Broadmoor's
this famous psych hospital here, like criminal psych hospital.
Broadmoor's like your Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's like not, I don't think it's as bad anymore because it used to be properly kind of really, really bad. But now it's like a hospital rather than a prison, so I think. But I mean, I'm not the warden of it, which is probably good because I don't really know if you're allowed to let them out or not. So
is that where they sent those? Weren't there members of the royal family who they were embarrassed by and they sent them away?
Oh, yes.
Is that where they...
They weren't in Broadmoor, though. No, that was somewhere else.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, because it's more for like criminals. It's still criminal stuff.
Criminally insane.
Got it.
Yeah, I read about that story recently and it's...
Right.
Yeah, it's... So, I mean, guys, that is the end of our story about Princess Anne. Right. So let's hear it for somersaulting out of cars. Cheers.
Absolutely. Yay. Can't wait to try that.
Wow.
Drunk women solving crime.
I thought after so much bloodshed in the story, we go for quite a lighthearted listener crime. And this is from Amy. And Amy says... Dear drunk women, when I was 9, we had just pulled into the driveway of my grandmother's house for a visit. Just by happenstance, there was a turtle shell right where I got out of the car. This was the middle of a cold Chicago winter, so we didn't have much hope for this turtle. But lo and behold, after being warmed up inside, its legs and head emerged.
Oh, it's more than just a shell.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So she says, 9-year-old me thought it had just won a free pet, but some phone calls uncovered that the turtle in question was being pet sat by the next door neighbours, maybe 50 yards away. So sadly, Icicle the turtle was returned. My questions are, how bad of a pet sitter do you need to be for a turtle to escape your home and make it that far? Were they hired to off the turtle? And how cool would the name Icicle have been? So that's from Amy. Any thoughts on Amy's experience?
Oh, Amy.
Agreed about Icicle. That's a fantastic name. Yeah, you do... Because turtles are often kept in tanks, too.
Yeah.
Or like little aquarium habitats. So the fact that it was out and got out through an open door and went to the neighbor's home is pretty negligent on behalf of the pet sitters. You have to be really, like, you do not care.
Yeah, they cannot have been. They cannot have been watching it for maybe 6 to 7 hours. I mean, I don't know how slow turtles are, but it doesn't.
How tough was it too that it made it all that way, and it's like too cold, but it got all the way to the next driveway and retracted. I assume. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and also the fact that it didn't get run over as they came in feels like this is a.
Yeah, the turtle's blessed.
Yeah,
maybe they were set up to run it over.
Okay.
Maybe there's more to this.
Oh, wow. Maybe you just blew this wide open.
Maybe the neighbors placed it there so there could be a big scandal.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Sorry, yeah. Amy.
Boy, it is Chicago, so.
Yeah, that's true. They could be like, oh, we got to get rid of this turtle. We'll just say it escaped.
Yes. Yeah,
and we'll put it in the driveway.
And then Amy gets the blame.
Oh, well, Amy, I hope that's helped.
I feel bad for little Amy
like,
because...
kind of.
But those moments when you think you have a pet, those are powerful.
Yeah.
You know, a bird flew into our chimney when I was a kid because we had this little, like, wood-burning stove. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done with a bird.
I know, but in that moment, you're like...
Yes.
You'll see, every once in a while, I'll see those videos online from like those animal channels that have heartwarming stories. And they're like, a butterfly landed on his head and he spent the next 2 days with it. And I'm like, I want that to happen to me. I want a butterfly friend.
I know.
Anytime I see any video like that, I'm like, oh, I could have a pig, or oh, I could have an otter. I'm like,
otters.
Yeah, right. I could not care for an otter, but they're so cute.
I can't give an otter what it needs, but I sure would try. God, I love those little guys. Look, my dog is licking its chops. That's part of the reason I can't have an otter. Anyway.
Would the dog eat an otter?
Oh, yes. These guys? What?
No,
I'm surprised they don't eat
friends.
Us in our sleep.
Well, we will wait to
and
see
on
if that happens.
Note, Amy.
Yeah.
Narrow escape with the turtle.
Well, yes, on that note, we have come to the end of our Men's Month episode with Mikey Day. Mikey Day, can you tell us, what are you up to? Where can people find
you? I was trying to think of a way to use not bloody likely, but it wasn't organic. Like, can you tell us, or like, are you going to tell us where you can be seen? Not bloody likely. Yes, Saturday Night Live, Saturdays, 11:30. Do you guys get it in the
Yeah,
UK?
We get it at 9 o'clock like on Sunday.
Interesting.
On, okay. Is it Now TV?
Yeah, Now TV.
So I watch it 24 hours later.
So Saturday night, much later.
But
yeah,
it's great because we didn't used to be able to watch a whole episode
it's
over
so
here.
So exciting!
Because I've
we
lived
can watch
here so
now.
Long, yeah. And you watch it, and it's ad free on Now TV, so you just like get to watch the whole.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah.
I okay, love it. So check it out. Saturday Night Live, Sundays at 9 on Now TV. Thank you. Now that's great.
Oh, amazing. Well, Mikey, thank you so much.
I have a question.
Go on.
And I'm really, yep. I'm sorry to bring up another show, but is it Cake? Has that been renewed for a second?
Yeah, we shot the second season. I almost forgot. We shot the second season this summer.
Yes.
If you have children, tell them, I believe late spring, they said, it's coming out. And it's going to be a wild one. I didn't think they could find 10 more people who could make hyper-realistic cakes.
Right. But yeah.
They did. Apparently, it's like a...
Oh, my God.
This niche, like, I don't know, spinoff of baking is really popular, because I was talking to the bakers and I said, I can't believe there's more of you guys. And they said, oh, there's a lot of us.
I was
like, very cool. More seasons.
My daughter is going to be so happy. That is great.
Yes. Tell all your kids. We got 10 more really good bakers, and it's the same things you've seen, but there's a lot of different stuff too. They've changed it up in some fun ways. So
do you like how I'm going, my daughter will be so happy, as though I'm not
maybe
equally.
Me too.
Yeah.
Taylor watching doesn't it have for a her.
I don't have any children. I do.
Yeah, it's been I don't think done something that kids have connected to so much. It's been really cool to see kids, the way they respond to the show. And I'll get sent videos of them hosting their own. A lot of these kids host their own versions at their homes. Like, one kid had this kinetic sand you can sculpt things, and it was like, is it kinetic sand? For some reason, they like doing their own version, which is so funny to me. But
it's very cool. I imagine if they do that, is it Cake? It's like, it's definitely Cake. It's like,
yeah, I know. That one.
Yeah, we tried a rock and it looked terrible. So, but it was
fun.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. She very much wanted to do her own version. She's like, probably the thing we could make is a rock, but it's so difficult. It shows the skill.
Rocks are
anyway.
Lumpy. Yeah. Yeah, you start to learn little things, like straight lines are supposedly very hard.
Ooh.
And it's funny the way the bakers talk about straight lines. They're like, ooh, look at that straight line. It's like their admiration of it. And then, you know, being in it, you start to be like, you know, when the bakers choose what they're going to bake, they're like, oh, I think I'll go for that. And you're... And then the more I learn about it, I'm like, ooh, there's a lot of straight lines. Are you sure? But I was learning more this season, like, the bigger something is, like, the more cake, the more time consuming it is.
Yeah.
And so you have less time to cosmetically make it amazing, because you're just physically making more cake, which makes sense, but I didn't never really... took that into consideration. I was just like, yeah, you're just making a cake. I'm like, oh yeah, the more cake, the more time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so season two, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a wild one. This has been so much fun. Thank you again for inviting me on. I was honored to be invited, and it was so much fun.
Oh, thank you, everybody. It's Mikey Day.
Oh, thank you, Mikey.
Mikey Day.
Men Mon.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.